Item number four is the application for a subdivision and rezoning for 920 Chancellor Drive and 2065 Pennant Highway under file DAS Z5 of 2011. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will be heard at the same time, namely, item five, which is an application for variance for 920 Chancellor Drive and 2065 Pennant under file DAV 112263/2011D.
Ray Wan and Susan Russell. Is there anybody else who isn't Ray Wan or Susan Russell wishes to speak or be recognized in this matter? I see none. Ray is in support. Susan is decidedly in opposition. So we'll see.
Have folks read the application?
Pardon me?
Have you read the report?
Yes, we have, Councillor.
Any questions, queries, or concerns?
There is only one condition of the denial of the variance requirement along the west property line where the planners have suggested to increase the 0 yard back to 4 feet setback instead. We have brought copy of the aerial photo just to further reinforce. Maybe there's a better option of simply making all of them to be small car stalls. In order to meet the maximum allowable 33% of small car for multifamily zoning, if we look at the site carefully, there is an existing 6-foot fence along the west property line. And further to the west on the adjacent property, there's two sections of clutter, very mature trees grow along Chancellor and further to the center of the site. If I may, I have an aerial photo over here to demonstrate that, and a site photo demonstrate the mature, how mature those trees are. What we're suggesting is we're not suggesting not to do the 4 feet setback, but do it a little bit more of an appropriate solution. This is the site plan showing a bit clumped up. Those trees are very mature trees. And here's the photographs of all those trees over here. Okay. What we're suggesting is where there are existing mature trees, allow us to go back to, in order to meet the no more, allow us to meet the maximum 33% of small car stalls within the site and not losing parking provision. Where the mature trees are, allow them to stay at 20-foot stalls. But where there's lack of landscaping, the rest of them, we will go with the 16 feet and start building landscaping between the two properties. So it will complement the existing rather than double up trees where there are already trees.
Why is it that we want the 4-foot setback here?
What we mentioned is that it's a requirement. We want better buffers in between developments. They were proposing a 0-foot setback, and we want to see at least a minimum. Like, under the bylaw, they'd be required 8. However, as a concession, we thought, well, you could go down to 4, and you can actually get a lot of short car parking stalls in there. So we want at least a minimum kind of allowance for some kind of buffer. Vegetative buffer. So what we did is we went with our RMFS standards. So we agree that we could lower it, but we want at least a minimum of 4. And this would allow for at least some flexibility in some areas to allow for some short car stalls that could be put in there and then help accommodate most of the parking, but it won't accommodate all.
So I think anything development on this site is a vast improvement over what it's been for the last however many years, 30 years.
We generally concur.
I mean, there's a solid fence along here, so there's not an issue with light. Who are we buffering from what here? I mean, most of this fence is the parking lot on the other side.
As a general standard, we just want to increase the overall landscaping buffers as much as we possibly can. We understand that they're going to go to 0 on the other side, and we agree. It's their decision on that side. The other side is a separate owner, and we'd want to respect at least the minimum kind of setback.
So, but the application was for a setback of 4 feet, right?
Of 0, sorry.
Of 0.
It was 0. And we tried to meet halfway.
The recommendation is?
4.
4.
Instead of 8.
So why doesn't it say up here to vary? See, this just says
it should say 4 instead of 8.
It should say 4 instead of 8, but it doesn't say that it was applied for 0. Where does it say that it was applied for 0?
I got to do the application.
And it's vary the decision.
That's not what it says.
Vary the parking area. Vary the parking area. I, you know, quite frankly, looking at it, I don't have a huge problem with a zero setback here and maybe some additional landscaping to be put in to their discretion through the plan approval process. I could see adding some trees, but I don't think we need to be that rigid because we're dealing with a bloody eyesore that's going to get cleaned up here.
To the committee, this is the fourth project that we look at, try to put a housing project within the site, and this one finally may fly. Not that the 0 yard versus the 4 feet setback will make a lot of difference to the project itself, but I would agree with you, Councillor. I would agree to do more landscaping, densify the landscaping, and do more serious landscaping to dress up the frontage along Chancellor, rather than putting bushes and trees along a fence that you're going to be, nothing will really grow in 4 feet. That's the honest opinion. But we're not object to the 4 feet setback recommendation, but we're just saying there is a smarter way to do that 4 feet. Can we look at, instead of a whole row of them being 16-foot stall, try to do it, don't clutter up the existing mature landscaping further to the west of it, fill in the blanks in between, allow the one that already have mature landscaping go back to 20-foot stall.
Yeah, but you would still need zero setback for some of that.
Yes, yes, we do.
Right. So if I just say 0 foot setback for the entire thing and bring some where you think that the trees should be put, and bring that in the plan approval process, then we would basically accomplish what you're saying.
Absolutely.
We don't want the 4 foot setback. We want a zero setback with some additional landscaping where there's the voids.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Is there anything else?
Something very minor on the planner's report on page 10, the final report, refer to under variance item number 1A, bracket 2. I think that part should read as bracket 3.
My page 10 is obviously different than your page 10.
On the initial draft report we received on Friday is page 14 of the planner's report. Item under variances, item number 1A, bracket 3 and 4,
yeah.
And number 2, bracket A, B, 1 and 2, first sentence refer to support variances number 1A, 2. I think that should be 1A, 3.
A, 2?
Page 4, well, my page 4.
Page 10 on my report, that you're referring to.
Yeah, under variances, the first item.
The first line says, the Planning and Land Use Division is recommending to support variances number 1, bracket A, closed bracket.
Oh, you're correct. Yep.
It should read that it's a 3. It's
in our report.
It's in the report.
It's in
the
report. Okay. Yeah.
Just want to make sure.
Okay, I'm ready to make a recommendation. Robert's got one.
No, I just want to bring to your attention, we're recommending rejection for two items, a front yard of 5 feet instead of 25 feet, which I don't hear the applicant concerned about, but no side edge buffering of the parking areas would fall under the requirements of the zoning bylaw, and specifically by rejecting that, we would be looking at either 1A, There's stringent requirements for meeting that in there. If you're looking for flexibility in terms of bump outs and whatnot, you may want to approve that variance, is what I'm trying to say. Because otherwise they'd fall under a stringent requirement.
Okay. So take me back to which variance that is.
It's number 1A5.
1A5, no side edge buffering of the parking areas.
That applies directly to the west side, which is the subject area that was the that didn't have, that they're asking for a zero front or a 0 yard. So if that applied, there would be, like I said, stringent requirements that fall under the zoning bylaw. So if it's your consideration to move forward to a 0 foot and have more flexibility, then you may want to consider accepting that variance.
So I would have to add 5 back in saying that it can have side edge buffering.
That you would allow the variance. in its entirety. For no signage buffering.
So we can have more flexibility.
For you could have more flexibility. Otherwise, you'd have to fall under two options under the zoning bylaw, which would have a landscaped area, at least one deciduous tree or coniferous tree.
Let me back this up. Okay. If I allow the variance, number one, as applied for, does that accomplish everything we're trying to do?
No. Sorry?
Number one?
Isn't that what we're talking about? 1A5?
Yeah, there's one...
A1.
A15. Oh. Yes, you're correct.
1A5. Okay, so I want 2, 3, 4, and 5 in what we're...
If it's your consideration to allow the 0 foot instead of 8 under A2...
You know what we want? Okay.
Yeah.
He's got it. I'm not getting it. As long as the clerk knows what we want, we'll sort it out either right now or through the evening while he types it out.
I can repeat it right now. You want to allow a west side yard of 0 feet as applied for instead of 4, which the admin recommended. You also want to allow no site edge buffering of the parking areas as an approved variance, and the rest is the same. Am I not right? So
except basically every single one except for
the 25 foot or the front
the five
yard,
foot.
5 foot.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Otherwise, it's everything as applied for.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm good. All right.
Thank you.
If I mess it up, I'll straighten it up somewhere down the road.
Councillor Swandell.
I'll move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
Favor opposed, carried.
That the receipt of public representations be concluded.
Favor opposed, carried.
That the Winnipeg Public, the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in and forwarded to the Executive Policy Committee.
Favor opposed, carried.
That the following supporting reasons, this is just good residential development, bringing residential development onto a site that otherwise would have been commercial in nature, and it's nice to see some of this sort of mixed use on these lands happening. And I'll move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
Proposed carried on the variance.
On the variance, I will move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
Favor opposed carried.
I will move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
Favor opposed carried.
And I will move that criteria A to D of subsection 247 sub 3 of the City of Winnipeg Charter set out below are satisfied.
Favor opposed carried.
And I will move that the recommendation with the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in with the following amendment. That is that the variance as applied for, with the exception of item 1A1, be approved.
Favor opposed carried.
Okay. And then the second variance is fine, right?
No, you already used it.
Favor opposed carried on the application being
No, but the, well, 1 and 2 is applied for. I just said 1 when I said it, but I meant 1 and 2.
Okay.
Item number 6 is an application for subdivision and rezoning for lot 24, Creek Bend Road, under file DAS Ed 6 of 2011. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will be heard at the same time, namely, item 7 under file DAV 111766/2007D.
Robert Lee, the applicant, is with us. Here we have
father.
I was going to say. And David Watson is here for information.
Just for the committee's edification, Robin Lee can't make it. I believe he's sandbagging his property. And his father is appearing on his behalf.
Oh.
So I am just sent to the fire without any knowledge, but he did read the report. He's agreed with everything and has no problems with any of the recommendations.
Fair enough. We'll ask you to stand down, and if there's any concerns raised, then I'm sure we'll bring a horrified you back to try to respond to them. Okay, thank you. David Watson for information.
Yep.
Welcome, Mr. Watson.
Hello, David Watson, 245 Creek Bend Road.
I don't have a brief from the Save Our Sane organization, so I'm speaking as a private citizen and as a resident of Creekman Road. I have been here over the last few years on a yearly basis to deal with the ongoing development of Creek Bend Road, and there's two more lots left to go, so you have twice more to see me probably before this is all said and done. As we know, as it moves farther and the sewers are extended, essentially the more and more of the road is being paved, and that process process of removal of the old road and the development of the new road. Last year we were told it would be 2 weeks in August. It ended up actually being 2.5 months, and actually the road was finished 2 days before the snowfall. So my neighbors have asked me, as Councillor Steves may know through a private correspondence through email, we have school buses, three school buses every morning that use our road, and there is no turnaround because we haven't been incorporated as a cul-de-sac area. Essentially, we're asking that, as last year when Mr. Lee and Precon built a temporary access road for the residents of Creek Bend Road and for their own use for the construction purposes, we would ask that, if necessary as a condition of the agreement this evening, that provisions be made that we at least be allowed to use their temporary construction road. And I'm not even saying it has to be two-lane. Even there's a good sight line, even probably one lane would do it. But we have to find a way to let the school buses have access to the road. Otherwise, I don't really understand how they can pick up the children. Yeah. It's kind of funny. There's only 10 residents. There's three school buses, but that's the reality of our modern school systems. Every morning I see them all go by with one child or two childs on each of them. It's the beginning of the route. The second thing would be essentially putting on the hat of a person who's interested in trails. Many good things are happening, as Councillor Steves and Councillor Vandell knows, with trails. And from Creekman Road north to the Shore Hill Bridge, there's provisions made and funding in place for a very nice trail. It's going to be built hopefully very soon. However, the city has never really met with the local residents or with other trail groups to talk about south of Creek Bend to the Perimeter Highway. As you know, one of the conditions of this agreement this evening is that the developer is either to A, build a trail behind his property, or B, to pay in lieu the standard fees, which can be, I think, as high as $55 a meter. It's quite expensive. So the question is that I have to think of the cautionary tale of the Vic Wyatt Place and the Hindu Temple easement, which has been a long-standing issue, as Councillor Steves and Councillor Vandell knows, and Councillor Swandell, perhaps, because it's been going on for 11 years, is that because of the small oversight of not to mention during the agreement for Vic Wyatt Place to be built, that the Manitoba Hydro right-of-way has to include an easement for a trail to the river. It's essentially landlocked, that future trail, and the city, people like Kevin Nixon, Donna Beaton, legal, property, real estate, have been working on this brief for 11 years at the cost of, I would say, tens of thousands of dollars because of just one momentary lapse of inattention on the part of SOS and possibly, and, you know, as I say, in terms of a very busy community committee. So my cautionary tale is there's one more property north of this property. It's owned by an out-of-country developer. He may or may not be rezoning in the near future. I wouldn't be surprised to be here next year appearing before you about the rezoning of that property. It's currently not for sale. It's currently, essentially, that is the landlocked sort of a scenario where it allows us to keep the southern trails, Oxbow, Lot 24, the storage facility, the provincial right-of-way. Nice lands down there, but how do we access them? How do we get from the people from the trail to get to go further down to see a really nice piece of property? The old campground for the old trailer park is a really cool, nice little forest. It's really nice habitat. So I guess the thing is that I don't want to stress Mr. Lee out here at this moment in time, but my question is that is this the time for the city to be considering legal easements or right-of-ways or property dedications to secure this trail at this point, and not to worry or think about the future, thinking that maybe it'll get resolved, and if the property to the north isn't resolved, then how do we deal with outstanding issues of public access? Now, I know through Oxbow and the Seine, Mr. Lee was said that he had no issues personally with the public using the property, Oxbow and the Seine, to access the river. But I'm thinking that there's going to be four condo corporations there, probably within the next 4 years, one every year. And my question is that there are no legal covenants or agreements or easements in place that I know of that would make them honor-bound to follow Mr. Lee's recommendations. So I guess that's my cautionary tale, is if that issue isn't resolved today, there may be the possibility that we'll be spending the next 11 years talking about this. And that's kind of my point on that one, I guess. So I don't know. I don't see... I don't know who's here to represent for parks or for anything like that. As I say, there's been no master plan, so perhaps the planner may have some information for us. So is there any outstanding easements or agreements to allow public access to this trail the city is developing with the developers south of Creek Bend Road? And I guess that's my main thing, is could we please have our school buses have access, and what can we do to make the trail system a viable option? Thank you.
Just before you go. Just for clarification, I don't understand what you mean by the school bus part. The school buses don't have access to the road? Is that the problem?
Well, a school bus is 25, 30 feet long. It can't back up into our driveways in a crankshaft scenario. I don't really understand how they could send a school bus down our road unless there was a turnaround or cul-de-sac for them. We have ditches. If they close off the street for, say, 6 weeks while they rebuild the road, essentially we become a dead-end road. It ends essentially at the bridge from the perimeter highway side. So the question is school buses, right now they come in from St. Anne's and they loop out onto the perimeter, and they do that coming and going in the morning. My question is that if they don't have access from St. Anne's, while they're rebuilding the road over those 2 to 8 weeks, my question is that, without asking Louisville School Division, how do they deal with an issue where the school bus driver has no way to exit the area?
Just, David, do we know for a fact that the road is going to be closed down, or are you just wondering if that's the case?
Well, last year, the specifications are you have to put in a Portland cement and build them a road.
Right.
And last year they did do that, again, without having Mr. Lee here to confirm the progress and how they do it. Last year the simplest thing for them to do was to simply build us a temporary road and to simply take out two sections. They did the south side first and they did the north side first of the road. With the temperatures and the horrible weather, it took him four times longer than he originally anticipated. So I guess the worst case scenario is that they shut down the road and we don't have access for let's say next October, November, or something like that.
I think they would provide temporary access, or if they were stuck like that, they would provide a shuttle to get the kids out to the you know, whatever road it is, in a small van or something, and the developer would have to pay for that to the school division.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be a solution. Yeah, absolutely. Then if it's incumbent on them that they assure that children have access, if their parents are working and they can't have the school bus, then that's a good positive move forward then, yeah.
And on the issue of, okay, we're PRing the section of land that abuts the river, right?
Buying it, it's city land.
Yeah. So do we need an easement in those circumstances? Because we were in the habit of putting easements on these types of properties, or so I thought we were.
Mr. Watson, is the connection back out from the linear part out to the road itself?
Oh.
And as we start to move forward, and we would share his frustrations with sort of the oversight on the Hindu property, is at some point, as we run out of options, if not this property, then the next property, at that point, we will require access back out to the road.
Oh, so you're talking about a side easement.
Correct.
Oh, I got it. Oh, sorry, I was completely in the dark there. Gotcha.
And so within this, we're buying channel capacity within the Seine River, taking the land dedication as a complementary part of that for the north-south connection, but there's very limited access east and west to get to those trails.
Well,
I haven't heard channel capacity very often.
Place to put the pathway.
River bottom.
Okay. Well, how many? We're in the process of building an access at the Hindu temple there between Vic Wade. Okay. So, Mr. Watson, you're suggesting that there be a strict dedication land-wise on one side of the property. Is that what it boils down to?
Well, in an ideal world, and if cost was no object, I would be asking for a dedication or an easement from the road to the river as well as along the back of the riverbank. On the hope or expect, or in the eventuality that we need access in one form or another, and we can't count on the out-of-country developer to be responding in a timely manner to these wonderful new market forces. If that, in an ideal world, that person would be here with his development plan, and we'd be incorporating the two properties together and having a circular route that takes us to the bridge, and then essentially then we have our point of connection. And I guess the thing is that it's an insurance policy, essentially having the linkage. But again, we're at this point, it's all we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what. So the thing is it worth pursuing the insurance policy at this point and not have to worry about it?
Well, I guess that there are two issues here, and I think we actually, first of all, on my original question, I think part of the concern is actually the easement along the river, based on what Mr. Watson just said. What you're looking for is essentially the old Claude Faure place not to be replicated. So you want an easement to be you want this, and this would be easily enough accomplished, I think. I mean, because no one here objects to this.
The river comes to the road.
No. Well, no. We're talking about a trail along the river. That's what Mr. Watson is talking about. We already have the land, but having the land is not necessarily the same as having a built-in agreement that says we're going to build the trail. I think that's what he's saying.
We are going to do that.
Okay, that's one thing that he wants. But the other thing that I think I heard him say was, just because we own the land behind Place Claude Faure as well. Right? But there was no specific... No, that's what you think.
No, this is what he wants. Right,
Mr. Russell, would like that connection coming back on the north side of Mr. Lee's proposed development, that we would take an easement along here to get back out to the road.
Do you want this agreement, Mr. Watson, to state that at some point in the future, the city of Winnipeg is going to be building a path along the river, and that to be represented in print?
Well, at this present time, they are obligated to either, A, build a trail, or B, give you guys the money to build the trail.
That's why I asked earlier if it was in there.
It's in the ACG.
Oh, yeah.
You said it wasn't. Oh.
That's boilerplate.
Then I'm wasting everyone's
number
time
16.
Here.
You've
been telling me that for 20 minutes now.
Okay, sorry. I missed it. That's why I thought I was asking the question. Okay. Now, that part I understand. I thought we were missing part of it. Okay.
However, if there's an either or.
I guess the obvious question, Mr. Watson, on your point about access to the river. If you were standing at the corner of that property, it'd be closer just to walk down the road to the river than it would be to walk down the property to the river at that stage. Okay?
Walk down the road.
Walk down the river to the road, he means.
No, walk down the road to the river.
To go north.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's. Let's say I'm at the Short Hill Bridge and I want to go to the perimeter. Like, imagine this is the same scenario as River Park South, but on the other side of St. Anne's Road. How do I get to the southernmost properties? And the question is that right now there's no linkage. The linkage is the northern property, which isn't developed. It's now an RR5 property, and we can't force that person to sell or develop.
Yeah.
And so the question is that do we want to ensure that we have connectivity at this juncture today?
I hear what you're saying.
Because I believe that the developer has mentioned they have two different building proposals. They have a low density project and a medium density project. And part of the condition, or part of the things that will help them make their decision, is how much square footage they have available. And it may be this right-of-way may actually help them make their decision in terms of whether they build the high density or the lower density. But again, it's not for us to force them to build one particular type of building, but they have a plan B. They have a, if we put in the easement, they have a plan B, but they also have a plan A if we don't ask for the easement. That's the way I read it. But they say market forces will determine what they build. But the main thing is that actually I think the decision of what they build is actually being made here in terms of whether you take away that 15-foot right-of-way on their northern tip there. But that's my own, that's not what I'm speculating.
The property gets applied for months from now, they don't need it.
Until we know what they actually want to build, it's hard for us to know what they have available to offer up.
Is this something that could be done at plan approval?
I could informally. What we've done on, for example, 701 St. Anne's, which was a public hearing item about a year and a half ago, we've informally requested that the developer, out of their own good nature, provide a public access through their site that's clearly identifiable, but it really primarily is for the residents there. We don't have control over it. We don't maintain it, and it's very informal. There's, if they choose to close it off, they could do so, but it's more of a good nature aspect, and that's the kind of thing that we look for in our typical plan approvals, is that we do want good public connectivity through there. However, that's completely informal.
Be there one day.
That's correct. And it's out of their good nature. In fact, my understanding is that it's
as opposed to taking it off Creek Bend Road before the bridge.
I'm sorry?
Forget it. No, okay. It's all right. I'm just thinking out loud.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Mr. Watson. I think we have your point.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Lee, come back and solve this problem for us, would you?
There's no problem here, Mr. Lee.
Well, I don't think that taking a 15-foot swipe of land down is, you know, very palatable. They're already giving up an acre of the land along the river and paying for the walkway. So I'm not sure what they would be prepared to do as far as more access goes.
Okay. Tough one. All right. Thank you, Mr. Lee.
On the...
So you think the plan approval idea, sort of the option?
Yeah, the applicant stated to us, again, is that under one option, which is a lower density, lower intensity development that completely complies, they suspect that they're going to need 100% of their land that's available. It's a different kind of model, an upscale model. I don't know if there's variances that will be required at a future date. I have no idea. If that comes forward, I understand what the applicant has submitted to us is that that's an issue for access. If they go forward with a development akin to what's south, the Oxbow developments, then they might have a little bit of flexibility for, I think what they were speaking of was probably an informal access. I don't know if they were speaking of a formal access. So that would be a plan approval thing that we can try to negotiate and work with the developer on. But again, it's not formal. It's not something that we have ultimate control over.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor, contrary, carried.
I'll move the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor, contrary, carried.